Tonight to the book of Proverbs once again. The book of Proverbs has been going through probably now about 5 or 6 weeks, and will probably take us all the way through the summer. As we mentioned before, it's a little bit difficult to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, because of the repetitiveness of the themes that go along with it. But looking forward to taking it topic by topic, and looking forward to this one tonight in Proverbs chapter number 1. I think it's one of the keys to the Christian life. Really, one of the key valuable things in the Christian life is to learn about the fear of the Lord. He said, Pastor, you talk about the fear of the Lord often, and I do because it's important. And in this, it's going to be a little bit different tonight because instead of looking at it a whole spectrum, I want you to see the benefits of the fear of fearing the Lord. And if you wanted a title for tonight, it's the benefits of the fearing the Lord. We don't often hand out sheets, but these are all strictly just verses with the titles that are there. Does everybody have one that wants one? If not, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you have one. That way it's going to be a little bit easier for you. Mr. Bateman has them back there at the back. The benefits of fearing the Lord, and I think it'll be easier for you to follow along, but also to take home with you so that way you can learn and consider and think about all the different things. So it's not just fearing the Lord. So many times people think living the Christian life is something that's going to take away all your fun and it's all going to be detrimental and all those other things. That's just not true. And it's just not true that God's life is the best life and it's the best thing we can do for our life. Who better to know what's best for us than the Creator? And the Bible talks about in Psalms 103.2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And many of the passages we've gone on already talking about how wisdom is available. And we talked about correction, talked about, hey, how do you handle correction? And that could be looked at a little bit negatively. But once again, the wise man receives the correction and learns. The foolish man, he despises it. And a wise man will learn more from a fool than a fool will learn from a million wise men. And the reason why is just because they're not willing to accept correction. And many of the things we've looked at is kind of like, oh, that seems like it's harsh or negative. Well, tonight's a little bit more of an encouraging message because we're going to look at the benefits that come along with fearing the Lord. The key verse here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I think this unlocks the power and the purpose of this great book and this great thought about fearing the Lord. Now, I know we talked about it often, but we'll bring this up again. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And I really enjoyed a few weeks ago when we had our family conference, I really enjoyed the way that Brother Paulie had explained it. I'd never heard it that way before. And I'll give that illustration in a second, but it's a reverence, it's a fear of the Lord. And fear, don't get me wrong, fear is something that when you think about, we mentioned always pick on my wife, well, not really pick on her, you know she's afraid of snakes. That's not the type of fear, that thought of being so fearful of something that there's a terror that comes. There, it's like a danger, an evil, some type of pain that people, there's that fear that goes along with that. But the fear that it's talking about here that Solomon is using is referring to being in awe of God, being humbled by his presence. One preacher put it this way, the fear of the Lord is an affectionate reverence for God by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's will. Another preacher said it this way, when we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that he is the Creator and we are the creatures. He is the master and we are the servants. He is the father and we are the children. This attitude will manifest itself in our having respect for God, his word, and having desire to do what he tells us to do in his word. He can relate this fear, kind of fear to that which a child has for his parents. If the child kind of fear is present, the child knows that his parents can hurt him if there was disobedience, but overriding that fear is a knowledge that disobedience hurts the parents. And the child loves and respects his parents and does not want to hurt them. To simply put, the fear of the Lord is a deep-seated reverence for God that causes men to want to please him at all costs. And I thought that was a good illustration. I've read that before. I may even read it publicly before. But talking about the children is one thing. Because sometimes, hopefully, your children will love you and want to respect you and not want to fail you. And you think about that when they're younger, they don't want to disappoint you. And many times they don't want to tell you, not just because they're afraid, but they're afraid that what the punishment is going to be, but they're afraid that they're going to hurt you. But sometimes as children get older, sometimes their hearts change. And hopefully they don't have to be that way. But sometimes their hearts change to no longer they really don't care about their parents' feelings. But the way that Brother Paulie explained, he pointed at his wife and he said to his wife, he says, I'm not afraid of my wife. She doesn't chase me around with a frying pan and all those other things. He says, her physical appearance does not scare me, does not make me fearful. But he says, I love her so much, I don't want to ever do anything that's going to disappoint her. I don't want to ever do anything that's going to fail her. I don't want to ever do anything that's going to cause her to think wrongly about me. And I thought that was, to me, that kind of spoke to my heart because I love my wife. And many times decisions we make, sometimes I have to make decisions, especially as a pastor, that we might not always agree. I know everybody else, all in your marriages, you all agree and everything's perfect. But, you know, when you have to make decisions, sometimes she offers her opinions, but she is willingly steps aside as I make what I think the right decision is. But I'm not afraid of my wife. I do think she could probably beat me up in a fight, but I'm not afraid of my wife in any way, shape, or form. But I don't do anything that would be disappoint her. And when we think about God, it should be even that step farther. We love him. We care for him so much. We reverence him. We stand in all of him. And as we stand in all of him, it's not just the fearful side. And once again, don't get me wrong. Be sure your sin will find you out has stopped me from sinning many times. Wanting the blessing of God on my life has stopped me from sinning. But I think the spiritual, how to spiritually unlock the key to a successful Christian life is saying, God, I don't want to do anything that's going to fail you. I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint you. I don't want you to do anything that's going to cause you not to be pleased with what I do. And if we live our lives that way, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs here, there's a lot of benefits to that. And then with the benefits that come with there, these are many times what Christians are looking for and the desires that Christians have. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the service and ask him to speak to our hearts about the benefits of fearing the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again. Lord, we don't want to do this just for show. Lord, in our hearts right now, help give us a hunger and a thirsting for your word, a hunger and thirsting for righteousness. And Lord, inside in our minds, there's probably 1,000 things running through our minds that you would calm our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that the word of God would have front and center attention in our minds right now and in our hearts. And Lord, as we consider these principles straight from the Bible and have a clear understanding that fearing the Lord is not just something that we should do, but Lord, you have showed us and demonstrated us through your word that is something that's going to help us. There's a great benefit that's involved in it. And Lord, I pray that you, as we walk out this place tonight, that we will love you so much that we don't want to fail or disappoint you. Lord, the Bible says it's impossible to please you without faith. And Lord, I pray that tonight our desire would be to please you, to put through the lens of what God would want me to do in my life, but also us to see that that's what's best for our lives. Not just something that's supposed to keep us under tow or not something that's supposed to keep us in line, but instead this is what's best for us. And that we would pass this on to the many, many that need it, whether young or old, that having the right perception of God, the right vision of God, is a life-changing principle that so many people miss, even Christians. Lord, help us tonight as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you got it there, you can, if you want to flip in your Bibles, you're welcome to, but we're going to look at a lot of these points and we're going to go because there's so many different verses. We will move through them fairly quickly, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what's one of the positives? What's one of the benefits of fearing the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. You ever had a time in your life when you're wondering what you should do? That's me every day. You know, that's something we look for. That's something we want. Now, we might say we understand it. We might say that we have everything figured out in certain areas. I don't need to even consider God. That's not the fear of God. The fear of God, what it's saying here, is the beginning of wisdom, is when we can begin to understand. And the beginning of knowledge, it says in verse number 7, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It's saying there that if we will begin to have the right perception to God, the right vision of God, live our lives with this thought, I don't want God to have to punish me. But even a step farther, I want God to be pleased with what I'm doing. So as I consider what step I should take in my life next, this is what I'm going to say. I wonder what God's going to think. And don't get me wrong, in my own life, because I live with my wife and I love my wife, many times what filters through my mind is, I wonder what Amy would think about this. But more importantly, it is, I wonder what God would want me to do. I wonder what God would want me to say. Because what it's saying there, that's when we begin to have understanding. When we're willing to consider what the Word of God said, and we're willing to consider what wisdom, which is that it's more than just having knowledge, but having the ability to apply that knowledge to godly circumstances and godly results. Look what it says in Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That last phrase, I love that. Before you're really, truly ever going to be honored. Now, you may be honored in this world for many different things. They so often they want to give everybody a trophy, and they want to honor everybody and everything. And if you don't honor everything and everybody, you get in trouble with the world's eyes. But if we truly want the honor that we can receive from God and from God's people, it starts with humility. What does that mean? That means, as we've been talking about in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. When we understand who God is and who we are, and we humble ourselves and we mourn over our sins, and we're not going to go through preaching all those Beatitudes, but it's the same principle. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And he says, here's the thing, is get who God is. And as you understand who God is, then you will begin to understand what wisdom is. The best place to begin to search for true wisdom, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Because you can know verse after verse and chapter after chapter, and if you do not ever apply it, if you do not ever want to learn what God wants us to learn from this scripture, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. I remember being the youth pastor, and they used to do this Bible quizzing, and I was super impressed with the Bible quizzing. We had young people that were there. They would memorize books of the Bible and chapters of the Bible. But then at other times, I watched sometimes how some of them would live, and it'd be discouraging. It was just a head knowledge, and we would even take time to discuss the things and kind of help them understand what the things meant and try to apply it. But the only way we're going to get the wisdom and the knowledge that comes from His Word is when we begin to apply it and we begin to have the right impression of who God is, the right vision of who God is, and see God, and that begins with humility. When we see Him high and lifted up, as Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up, what happened? Isaiah's whole mindset changed. When he saw, he was saddened about Uzziah dying, he was saddened about what might happen in the nation of Israel. Then he had that vision of seeing God high and lifted up. What happens? He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he worships God. He says, here am I, Lord, send me. Having the right perspective of God will unlock so many things in our lives. And I pray for wisdom often, if not daily, if not more than daily. But where real wisdom comes from is when I learn to fear the Lord. And so often we'll pray, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. God, will you please tell me what to do in this situation? But if we live our lives with this understanding, I want to do what God wants me to do. What was that beatitude? That we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirsting after doing what is right. But we first must learn how to be poor in spirit. Then we must learn how to mourn over our sins. And then we must learn how to, and it keeps on going. And it comes to that spot that more than anything else in my life, I want to be right with God. That means that we must learn how to be meek. That means we must learn how to do all the other things that have been put before it. But we get to that stage and says, there's nothing else more important to me than being right with God. And right, that unlocks so many keys. You don't have to worry about, hey, what should I wear? I don't want to displease you, Lord, so I'm going to make sure what I wear is appropriate. And not according to the world's standards, but according to your standards. What is it I should watch? Should I have this friendship? Should I have this conversation? All those things really, it evens out and comes, and we figure it out when we understand that I'm living for Him. I'm dressing for Him. I'm watching for Him. And I don't want to do anything that God might be displeased with. Once again, that just opens up a whole idea of the beginning of wisdom. Second thing I want you to look at, and if you want to turn your Bibles, this is in chapter number 3, says, the fear of the Lord helps us not sin. That if there is something more than I need than wisdom, I need some help. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I still fight the flesh, and it's the flesh is still there, and it's a constant battle. I'm thankful that they wrote in Romans chapter number 7, Paul wrote out those things about him saying things like, the things I would do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, the things I do. I mean, I know that's not the exact quote, but it's that thought there. But here, it helps us see a couple of things. If you go back to Proverbs 1:29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. There are people who can choose to live their lives by not fearing the Lord. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to hate knowledge. I've even seen Christians despise certain things in the Word of God. And we sit down and we have a conversation and we say, hey, what does the Bible say? And let's read what hey, it says you're supposed to be merciful. Hey, you're supposed to do this. Hey, you're supposed to do that. And I see sometimes people says, I don't understand that. I don't agree with that. And they despise certain things because they don't fear the Lord. But if we truly fear Him, you know what's going to do? It's going to help us not sin. Look what it says in Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There is a connection there. You fear the Lord first. You don't want to disappoint Him. You don't want to fail Him. And when you begin to look through that vision, when you begin to take it and put it through that concourse, you know what's going to say? I'm going to have to depart from evil. Look what it says in Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We need God's mercy. And we need truth, mercy and truth, wonderful. And a description of what Jesus was, grace and truth, mercy and truth. We need the mercy of God. We need to understand the truth. But when we begin to fear the Lord, the Bible says we're going to begin to depart from evil. When we say, I don't want to fail God. I do not want to displease Him. I don't want to do anything that could cause Him harm or His name harm. He says, you know what you're going to do? You're going to depart from evil. I don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to walk away from it. It doesn't mean I'm going to be close to it and cozy up with it and see how close I can get to it without sinning, how much I can step over the line. He says, no, there's wickedness, there is evil, and I'm hightailing it out of there because of the fact that I don't want to do anything that would displease the Lord. Proverbs 119:11 is one of my favorite verses, and I know many of you know it. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It helps me understand if I want to have victory in my Christian life, if I want to have victory over sin. And sometimes people come and say, how in the world do I get over the sin? How in the world? And once again, there's scripture that you do. You take them to them. You show them that. You give them scriptures that back up the things that they're struggling with. But simply put, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Those are two key verses there. If you learn to put God's word in your heart and you learn to have the right perspective of what God should mean in your life, you're going to depart from evil. And I know this is not found, if Psalms 1 wasn't found in Proverbs, but Exodus 20:20 is not often given with this thought, but I love how, and once again, going through the Bible again, going through the book of Exodus again, read this recently, says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, in Exodus 20:20, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. If you go back to that Mount Sinai picture and you remember how all the thunderings and all the clouds and all those things were going on, the people stepped back and the people were afraid. The people were too afraid to talk to God. They would go and they told Moses and they said, hey, Moses, you go talk to God for Him. And whatever He says, we'll do. Whatever He says. And God's, if you go to Exodus chapter 20, it talks about, hey, don't put any graven image before Me. Don't bow down. Don't make any graven image. All those different things. And just days later, what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf. But they were saying, hey, Moses, whatever. And it says here that the reason why God made this manifestation of His presence is that they would fear Him and they would stand in awe of Him. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Don't fear in the way that you're going to hit by the lightning bolt. Obey. Don't go close to the mountain like He says. But He says, fear not, for God has come to prove you. He has come to demonstrate and to show you and give you understanding that His fear may be before your eye, before your faces, that you would stand in awe of Him. And then that last phrase, that ye sin not. If we need wisdom, one of those huge things, if we want to know not how to sin, depart from evil. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. It means not just departing. It means that we hate those things that turn us aside. I hate those things that turn me aside. And that's not what we think about sin. We like to keep sin cozy to us. We like to keep sin nice to us. We like to make up excuses about it. And no, we need to hate what sin is doing to people. It's ruining and wrecking people's lives. And we have family members that are struggling with sin. And I know we like to make excuses for them, but the reality is we need to hate that sin. And we need to fear the Lord and ask Him to lead us and guide us and give us wisdom and how to help them. So your next one, which would be number three, and you notice the next five or six are a little bit shorter, but I like this one. He says, the fear of the Lord gives us confidence. Gives us confidence. It's great to have confidence in certain things. It's great to have faith in things. He says, in the fear of the Lord, not it's just confidence, it is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. When we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we can have confidence that God is on our side. How many times do we struggle when we wonder, is this what God really wants me to do? I'm not sure what to do here. God, don't leave me hanging here. And the reality is, if we would just say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail you or disappoint you. We can have a strong confidence that we know as we take steps of faith that God is going to continue to lead us and guide us. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know? Remember some of the litmus tests. Are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Because I know some people have been so confident in their own flesh, in their own strength, in their own might, in their own pride. There's no honor because there's no humility. And because there's no honor, because there's no humility, there's no honor. And yes, they're confident in something, but they're not confident in God. Their strong confidence is in themselves because they're willing to forsake so many other commandments of God in order to have their own opinion. So you got to be careful. The fear of the Lord, it involves everything. The fruit of the Spirit is something that says love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It involves a long list of things, not just what the things we like to pick and choose. That fruit can come out in our life. So if we have a strong confidence, his children shall have a place of refuge. When we're doing what's right and when we're living for him, we can hide ourselves underneath his wings and we can say, God, I've done everything I know for you. I've done everything I know how to do. God, I am resting and relaxing in you, and my confidence is found in you. I don't have to worry about what the future holds. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to be anxious for anything. I don't have to be careful for anything because my confidence is not in myself, my own decision-making. It's because I fear you. Next one, the fear of the Lord produces life. Fear of the Lord produces life. In John 10:10, it talks about how a thief cometh, and I probably should have written it down, but it talks about how we have life and have it more abundantly. Christian life is not something that is drudgery. And so many times Christians, because they don't live a successful, victorious Christian life, they walk around moaning and groaning and completely defeated. And because they have sin in their hearts and sin in their lives, and they have broken fellowship with the brethren, and they just look like they're miserable. That's not the Christian life at all. One of the greatest experiences in our life is when we see God work and see God move. Blessed are the pure in spirit, pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there is no greater thrill in life to be able to help someone, to bring someone to Christ, to see God make a victory happen. What greater things do we see when people get saved and people encourage? It brings life. And it says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. We are stronger spiritually than we could be otherwise when we walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is like a fountain that continually springs up with spiritual vitality and strength. This enables the Christian to walk cleaner and closer, thus avoiding the temptations and traps of the devil. It is something that you sit there and say, it gives us life and life that is more abundant. It gives us a freedom because we have that strong confidence. It gives us a wisdom how to live. It helps us to depart from sin. And as you continue on going down these things, it makes your life so much better. One of the worst places to be is a place where a Christian that is away from God, not living for him. Some people say, well, the people that are most miserable are the people that don't know God and the people. But if you know God and you know that you don't love him like you should, and if you're in a backslidden condition, and I don't know about you, that's one of the most miserable spots to be. That's what I've been there before. And I don't want to be there. But I know what it's like to have God working and having the Holy Spirit working and being filled with the Spirit. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life. Look at the next one. Kind of like this one too. Kind of like all of them, but this is kind of a neat one. The fear of the Lord makes all of life better. Say, Pastor, that seems a little bit rich, doesn't it? Well, look what the verse says. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And I'm sure sometimes when we go through the book of Proverbs, we're going to talk about finances, we're going to talk about greed versus someone who is being generous, things like that. But think about it. The verse teaches us that it is better to have limited resources and be walking in the fear of the Lord than to have much and having trouble. And we think about it, that is so true. How many of us know people that don't have much, but they seem so happy, seem so content, seem so thankful, seem so grateful, and they just live a blessed life? And then others we see that have so much, but they're always trouble. There's always problems. There's always turmoil. There's always, we know those people are the people that are filled with drama. And it just seems like they can never get satisfied. They want more and more and more, but they're never happy with it. We think about the world that we live in today. They lift up people that have all those things. They lift up these stars and superstars and this person, all these beautiful people. But you see, they have divorce after divorce after divorce. The suicide rate amongst them is higher, especially those young, supposedly most talented people, the people who had everything to live for, supposedly. What happened? They gave their life. They died. They committed suicide. They had to turn to drugs, and they had to turn to alcohol. They had to turn to all these other things to try to find that natural, what they call a natural high. But in all reality, there's nothing natural about it. But the Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And if we would learn to live by faith and have the fear of God, we can live carefree. So what do you mean carefree? I mean, I can do whatever I want? No, you're fearing the Lord. It means that I don't have to worry and be anxious and careful about what's going to happen tomorrow. Even if I just have a little, it's better than having a lot with a bunch of trouble. Next thing, the fear of the Lord gives satisfaction and safety. Look what it says in Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You think about it, as we kind of correlates with the last one, how satisfied are you in your life? And I know that sometimes people, oh, I'm content, I'm satisfied, but it's as if we're looking for more and looking for something different, looking for a new church, looking for a new relationship, looking for a new partner, looking for a new job, looking, and once again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having changes in life, but at the same time, what I'm saying is, the Bible says that it will give us satisfaction. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. The person who lives in the fear of God is a satisfied person. They have one goal in life. It's to please him. They don't have to worry, go around and say, hey, I wonder if I please this person. I wonder if I please that person. I wonder if I please that person and that person and that person. Man, that is a miserable life to have. You ever tried to do that? Try to make everyone happy? As a youth pastor, we would go out to eat sometimes, and I don't really care where we eat. Try to be nice to the teenagers and say, hey, where would you like to eat? And so, you know, some people say McDonald's. You know what? Nowadays, they don't like McDonald's as much. I guess maybe they've learned. But, you know, some people, hey, can we go to Burger King? Can we go to Taco Bell? Can we go to Wendy's? Can we go this? Can we go that? Hey, can we go to Cracker Barrel? You know, and all those different places, the different things, and, you know, not satisfied. Usually one person in the group wants to dictate everything and say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to eat there. And things like that. It's when we must have other stuff to make us happy, we will never be. When we must have other things to help us, to make us happy, we'll never be happy. So when we learn to be satisfied with the Lord and with the privilege of walking in his fear, we will permanently be satisfied. Why is that? Because we know God has given us everything we need. He gives us everything that he thinks we deserve or everything that we need. And those things, he says, therewith be content. It's permanently satisfied. Nothing will matter but the fact that God is pleased with our lives. That's what the fear of the Lord looks like. Proverbs 29:25 puts it this way, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Think about that. The fear of man putteth a snare. That if you're going to go out and try to live for man, you say, well, it'd be so much easier to just try to please people because of the fact they're not God. And he says, no, if you live to try to, in the fear of man, and that's, it's tough because you want to please people. You want to be liked. You want to turn around and you want to do those things that are going to make people happy, but you got to come to the realization that if that involves going against what God says and what God says makes him happy and what's going to please the Lord, we cannot just because man changes. Man's snare changes. Man will put you one way and say, oh, this is good, but then something else the next time won't be enough. God never changes. He's promised us. He's told us in His Word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to encourage you tonight, make sure that we're living to be satisfied in what the Lord has given us. And the Bible says, if we will fear the Lord, it will help us understand and have wisdom. It will help us to depart from evil. It will actually help us to become ones that is content and have confidence. It will give us a vibrant Christian life, and it makes all things better. Let's look at the next thing. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. Now, this is not a blanket promise. There's a number of things that go along with this, but this is living a righteous and Christian life is something obviously is much better than dealing with the alcohol and dealing with the tobacco and dealing with immorality. There's so many different people who have diseases because of those different things that happen. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. It's in the Word of God there. Generally speaking, those who live in the fear of the Lord, they live to a good old age. And they live to an age that's usually longer. Now, I know you can use certain examples. Say, well, what about this person? What about that person? And I understand that. But the Bible says that we believe it. And we know it's not a blanket thing that says, hey, what about the person that died in a car accident young? Did they not fear the Lord? Obviously not. It's the understanding that God's sovereign and God's got everything under control and God works everything according to His plan and His purpose. But it says it will prolong days. There's benefits. Last but not least, the fear of the Lord brings great blessings. Look what it says, by humility. Once again, we started with that humility. We're finishing with that humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Our theme for the year is the word blessed. And we talked about this, the word blessed, and three different thoughts from it. Number one, we are blessed to have so much. We are blessed with wonderful facilities. We're blessed to live in America. We're blessed with blessings and even spiritual blessings, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. Now the blessed part where it talks specifically about the word most times about being happy. It's a joy, a happiness that if we do certain things, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are all those beatitudes. Completely contrary to what the world says. This is where you're going to find the blessed happiness in your life. Most people say, hey, if you get more than you give, you're going to be happy. That's not what the Bible says. If you learn to have a high self-image and high self-esteem and you care most about yourself. Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is what you're going to find your happiness and your joy. But the last part, a life that is blessed is a life that God can use. Blessed. He looks at her life and He says, that's a life that I can bless. Once again, that's why He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And what? There's a promise that goes along with that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they those that are merciful, for they shall receive mercy. There's promises that go along with that, all those different things. This past week, we talked about blessed, about those that, talking about when they face persecution and talk about when men revile you and all those other things, how we're supposed to rejoice in that and how we're supposed to be exceedingly glad. And he said, Pastor, I don't understand all that. Fear the Lord. Walk in that fear. Care about what He thinks more than anything else. Apply His Word to your heart. Apply His Word to your eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord produces the greatest possible life that any person can ever live. Your best life. I know sometimes you get these modern day theologians or these so-called preachers. Hey, live your best life. Your best life is found right here. It's found with serving the Lord. It's found with fearing the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord brings the greatest blessings. There will be spiritual riches beyond belief. Peace, joy, hope, security, the promises of God. That abundant life is there and it's available. Why is it that so many Christians live a mundane, unsuccessful, unvictorious Christian life? As they lost sight of who they're supposed to please. Who are we supposed to please? And I look at this and I read this and I go through this list and it's something that encourages me. It's wisdom. The Lord helps me not sin. Those are two of the main things I deal with on a day-to-day basis. I need God's wisdom. And I need God's help in not sinning. We can have confidence in the Lord. It gives us a vital Christian life. He makes our life better. He gives us ability to be satisfied. He prolongs life, and he brings great blessings. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs 23:17. One of the issues and problems, I believe, why people do not fear the Lord is found here. It's because we envy sinners. So, Pastor, I don't envy a sinner. Then why is it that we want our children to do this or do that? Well, we don't want them to feel left out. What do we learn about on Sunday night? That we are going to be different. We're going to look different. We're going to act different. And it says here in Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. It may look like the world is winning. It may look like all those wonderful things are happening and everybody at house has more than me. And I want my young person, or I want my child, or I want my grandchildren to have all these things. But what is the greatest desire in your life? We're going to finish with this last passage of scripture. We're leaving the book of Proverbs just for a minute, but go to Psalms chapter 37 and we'll be done here. Psalms chapter 37, it talks about, hey, why don't we fear the Lord? Why don't we walk this way? It's because we're envious of other people. And in Psalms 37, it talks about us not fretting and not worrying about evildoers. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to delight in the Lord. Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse number one, be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Say, why should we not fret? Why should we not worry? It says, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. There's no sense envying someone who is, their end is going to be described that way, cut down like the grass. So often we want to look and act and be like those beautiful people in the world, and their lives are wrecked and ruined. I remember having a conversation, no one that's here right now, but talking to a grandma about her granddaughter that was part of her youth group a long time ago. And they used to watch something called Hannah Montana. It was Miley Cyrus. And it was a Disney thing. And the grandma didn't see anything wrong with it. And I didn't yell at her, but I just said, in 10 or 15 years, you don't know where that girl is going to be. And she has turned out to be very, very wicked in the things she does. She says, oh, it was just innocent. It was nice. And I was like, is that what God would want him to do? I know it's a grandchild. I understand that. And maybe the parent has the authority there and that right there. But she was letting it at her house. And he says, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And we discussed it. And we talked. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people. And I says, look, is it something that God wants you to do? And he says, are you supposed to look at it that way? Yes, filter everything through. Is what I'm saying something that's going to please the Lord? Is what I'm looking at please the Lord? Is how I'm acting, how I'm treating each other, how I'm treating the fellow church members, how I'm treating my husband, my wife, are these things that would please? That's what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to do anything that's going to fear him. I want to treat each person the way that God wants me to treat. I don't care if I don't like them. I don't care if I have something against them. I don't care if they tick me off. I don't care. Whatever it is, my relationship with that individual is the way I treat that person, something that's going to displease God. And that's what the fear of the Lord means. I'm walking to say, I'm going to treat that person, even though they don't deserve it, with kindness. Why is that? Because I don't want to do anything that's going to displease him. I'm not going to turn around and ignore and not follow the be kind one another, tenderhearted, kind. You know, I'm not going to do those things because of the fact that I don't want to. No, I'm going to choose to do those things because I don't want God to be displeased with me when I turn around and try to be a jerk to people because I don't like them. They deserve that. That's what I'm saying, filtering it through. And it says here in verse number two, verse 13 back then in Proverbs, it's talking about don't be envious because look at what their end is. Look what it says in verse number three. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He says, look, if you trust in the Lord and do what's right, God's going to take care of you. Then there's another promise. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So often we don't get those desires because they're not the right desires. We're always longing for something, wanting something more, desiring more. Hey, I want this. I got to have this. I got to have that. If you learn to, or if we learn to walk in the fear of the Lord, and we fear the Lord the way he said, what did he say? We can have safety. We can have strong confidence. We can have satisfaction. We can live a life that is better. We can have the blessing of God. We can know how to overcome sin. We can learn how to have wisdom. We have all those things. But, and that's what the Bible is saying here. Delight thyself also in the Lord. If we delight in him, if we love him, if we say, I care more about him and want his reaction to be according to the way I live, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Why is that? It's because my desires no longer are about me. My desires are now what God's desires are for me. So often we want certain things. And I'm a parent. I understand that. I want certain things for my sons. I want all those good things. I desire for them to, you know, do this and do that and to get notice and all those other things. But no, those desires don't always come true. But he's saying, if you'll learn to delight in me, you'll learn to delight in my word, learn to fear me, have that reverence and that awe of me, all those desires of your heart, they're going to come true. Is that because God changed his mind and what his desires for you are? No. It's because you've changed what your desires are for your children, for your grandchildren, for your husband, for your wife, for your church family, for your pastor, for whoever it is that you deal with, for your sons and your daughters, even if they're older now. It says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All these different benefits, they come to pass. Benefits of fearing the Lord. I know sometimes in my life I go on a diet. Probably need to be on one right now. And they tell you to eat certain things. And you look at it and you eat certain things. They say, well, it's good for you. There's a benefit. I don't think it tastes good. I don't want it. But when there's benefits that go along with that, then it's not as hard to say, you know what, that's something I should do. When it comes to God, we should always love him. We should always desire to serve him. We should stand in all of him. We should do all those things because we're supposed to do it. But he opens up his word and he says, not only you're supposed to do it, but let me show you what's going to happen when you do it. You're going to have wisdom. You're going to have help getting over sin. Believe me, so many of us need that. And then you can have a strong confidence. You can have satisfaction. You can have a better life, it talks about. And you can have riches and honor that it talks about. All those things. If we will learn to just put through our mind, what would God want me to do? And I know there's that little thing. I know the story behind what would Jesus do in the little braces and things. But what is it that God wants me to do? How is it that he wants me to treat that person I really don't like? How is it that he wants me to witness to that person I'm fearful of? What is it in my life that I'm doing that could be displeasing God? Fear the Lord means I love him so much, I don't want to ever do anything that's going to disappoint him. So tonight I pray that we ask God to help us have that type of desire, because I believe that's the desire that he's going to grant in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the benefits. Lord, we know you that you are God. We think about what you said to Moses and that you came to prove them and that they would sin not. And you knew that just days later they were going to sin. But God, you gave them the opportunity. You revealed yourself unto them. You showed that you were God, and they had just seen it with the 10 plagues. They had just seen it with the Red Sea. They had seen it with the manna. They had seen it with the water. Lord, our hearts get so hard so quickly sometimes. God, I pray that in our hearts and lives tonight, not only would you spark a desire in us to want to fear you, but Lord, that each of us would ask this tonight. God, help me to fear you like you deserve. Help me not to do those things that disappoint you. Reveal unto me those things that you do not like. Lord, help me to live a life that seeks after your wisdom, that hungers and thirsts for that righteousness, that helps me to depart from sin, and that I can have a strong confidence because I'm seeking your will. And God, I can be satisfied. And God, I can live that better life. Lord, thank you. Thank you for it's better with a little. Lord, most of us, if we didn't know that in the Bible, we'd be seeking for much, no matter what trouble it brought us. But Lord, you told us it's better to have a little. Lord, help us have the right desires, not just for our own lives, but for our mate's life. So often we want our mates to do what we want. Lord, help us instead to pray that we would have mates that would fear the Lord, even if it's things that we don't enjoy. Help us to have the desires and the fear of the Lord for our children, that they would learn to care about what God says. Not just teach them about the omnipresence of God, but to care that they're in God's presence and that they would desire to live for you each and every day, for our grandchildren, Lord, for our church family, Lord, for me, Lord, as their pastor, that I would make these decisions, that the fear of the Lord would be something I live by. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to have a desire to fear you in a biblical way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and